I invite you, if you're able, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, you can turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. This is the first week that we are studying a new series, and this series will go for a while as we try to make it through all the way through John. Broken up through the year through various things, but today is the inauguration of this study of John. So I'm excited. I hope you all are excited as well. And I'd encourage you, just to, as a side note, if you have time this week, I'd encourage you to read through the whole gospel. If you can do it in one sitting, that's great. Maybe as a family evening activity sometime. It'll take a little while, but I'd encourage you to read it all in one sitting and hear the beauty of this gospel, to see the wonder, to see the glory that we'll look at, that we'll be introduced to this morning. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, the scripture passage for today is written in the bulletin, so you can follow along there. And I invite you to stand as we hear the reading of God's Word. This is God speaking to us through His servants, through the author here, and through my voice, and we will hear what He has to say for us this morning. So here now, beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray that you would be in all of our hearts today. The words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. That as we come to see and behold this Savior, that our hearts would be stirred with wonder and amazement, so we may see and behold and witness your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You can pray for me this morning. I've got a little tickle in my throat. I've got my lozenge water up here. But as we are entering into this new study, there's a lot to talk about. These first 18 verses of John are really the prelude, the introduction to the gospel. And there's a lot in this passage. There's so much here that we could probably go verse by verse and talk about each verse. about the things that John is really saying here. And unfortunately, I think that would add twice as much time to the whole sermon series. So I don't want to do that. But I do want to highlight the main things today that John is talking about. And really, all of these things that he's introducing, they work out in the gospel. They are described and shown in the narrative of what Jesus has done. So these themes will really run throughout all of the text as we study it. So I think it's wise to do as John does here and just kind of go through this introduction. Just take it all in. It's like a fire hose this morning. We're going to get blasted with the truth of God's word. And yet, as we soak it in, as we get drenched in this gospel, I think we'll see and we'll begin to see the glory of what John is talking about, the wonder that he is sharing with us. Just some background on the Gospel of John. It is attributed to John, the disciple that Jesus loved. The text here, the attribution to John, was probably added later. But from the testimony of the early church, it is believed that John wrote this. We don't know for sure, so many commentators will say the evangelist or the author, something like that, just to be clear. But I'm going to, because we call it the Gospel of John, because that's the tradition, and I think that it's a good tradition, I think it's probably accurate, I'm going to call the author John, just to keep everything simple. But it was definitely, we can see that it was written by an apostle of Jesus. It was authoritative, and the church, the canon that was received by the early church, this was always a part of it. And we see that because it is written with the authority of one of the apostles. All of the testimonies are accurate. All of the events, we can see the ones that are corroborated by other testimonies, they're true. And it is also written according to the same style and the same language and the same theology as the other Gospels in a unique way, in a particular way. John gives us a view of the glory of Jesus, of the wonder of Jesus, his power and his might. And as we will go through this gospel, we will really see several things here. The first kind of half of John deals with his power, miracles, the things that Jesus showed and proclaimed. And then the second half really deals with the testimony of Jesus' work, his messiahship, his bringing about the kingdom of God. And so the power and the gospel are really in view here. We see the power of God and the gospel of God. And both of these things combined together reveal that this gospel that John is showing us is a gospel for all people of all time. John, the Gospel of John was probably written to a Christian community, a mostly Jewish community, though there is also Gentile and other styles and things in the Gospel of John as well. But a lot of this, and we've even seen a little bit here in the beginning of John, a lot of it rests upon that foundation of a Jewish culture. The understanding of who God is, the Old Testament, of how God has worked throughout all of history. And so we're entering into a story that's already at play. We're entering into a narrative where there's already a lot of history going on. And when we start to see what John is talking about, we start to see that there are a lot of details here, a lot of threads that have been woven through. throughout history. And so this morning, as we pay particular attention to this text, we'll see three things this morning, three points. First, we'll look at the beginning again. John focuses on this narrative of the beginning of all things, but in a new way, in a way where he reveals something new, something glorious. The second point will be the witness, or the possibility to miss the witness. I've titled it, Witness or Miss This. And the third point this morning is the glory that we can grasp, a glory that we can understand and dwell in. And I hope this morning that we'll see in this introduction to John that this is Jesus' story. This is the beginning of Jesus' story, and he is the eternal Word who became flesh for us to reveal God's glory, to give us life, to call us into his kingdom. And we are called not only to see his glory, but also to become witnesses who proclaim his glory. So let's look this morning at these three points by looking at our first point, the beginning again. We already see here one of the threads that John weaves into this gospel narrative. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This language, the in the beginning language, well, you recognize that from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John is deliberately making us think back to that opening of the testimony of God, the revelation of God in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. And just in case you're wondering if he's saying the Word was God, because Genesis says in the beginning God created, John says the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is emphatic. Jesus is God. The Word is God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. So why is John starting here? Why does John bring us back to Genesis? He's writing to a community of those who are familiar with these things, the stories of creation, the divine interventions in the Old Testament. And we see in this that he's focusing on this history, this understanding of how God would be working throughout all time. And really focusing now on this Word, on this Messiah that was testified throughout the Old Testament, that God would send a Savior, that he would send an anointed one, a Messiah, to save his people. But this anointed one could not be any ordinary person. In fact, he needed to be God himself. And we see that Jesus' story was existent before the beginning. In fact, the beginning was brought about by Jesus. All things were made through him. So John begins this way because he's calling us into something glorious. He's calling us into something that is wondrous and new. The Messiah has come. Not only that, but the Messiah is the God-man, the God incarnate. We have never known God like we know him now. So here is the claim that the gospel is all about. Jesus is God. And Jesus has come to give us grace. And these two things are vital, right? We know that these two things are essential theologically, as they work out in the gospel. If you've studied the gospel, if you understand the different facets of who God is, who we are, what kind of a Savior that we need, all of these things that are shown in the testimonies and the stories of the Old Testament, Jesus is God. And that's especially important because it's reiterated throughout Scripture that mankind is unable to be holy like God. And yet God requires us to be holy. We don't really have any hope of ever obtaining that holiness on our own. Therefore, our solution must come from outside of ourselves. Enter Jesus. Enter the Word that existed before creation, the one who is God, the one who made all things, and in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the one who has come to bring all the promises of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to fruition. He's the one who is yes and amen to the promises of God. When we normally think of Jesus, we think of him as the miracle worker. The one who raised from the dead, the one who fed 5,000, the one who healed the sick. And those things are wondrous. In fact, when we think of Jesus raising from the dead, it is glorious. But John is taking us back to the beginning to say, Jesus' glory doesn't start here in the gospel. Jesus has always been glorious. He created all things. John is taking us back to the beginning so that we can really see who this Jesus is. He designed and created the world. He made all the stuff in this universe. He created quantum entanglement, consciousness, being, matter, math, science. God created it all. And Jesus is the one who is the image of God. It's interesting here as John talks about this connection between light and life against darkness. I think John is putting that in there because he knows that that's where we enter into this story. We enter into the story because we are in the darkness. Man, I feel so often overwhelmed by the darkness in this world. And I'm sure many of you have felt the same. Don't you ever wish that you could look out into the world and not be overwhelmed by the darkness, to be able to see as God sees, to really be able to see how it's all going to work out for the good of those who have been called according to God's purposes? We believe that, but it's hard to see. We live our lives in a world of darkness, but Jesus sees. Jesus isn't overwhelmed. He is the life, and the life is the light in this dark world. And as he enters into our world, as he surrounds us and brings us into his kingdom, he brings us life and light. See, Jesus isn't overwhelmed. He's not nervous. He's not wondering how he's going to defeat the next wave. He's the Creator God who is able to do all that is according to his holy will. That's the Messiah. John is saying, this is the Messiah who has come to rescue you. Have hope. Trust in him. Don't you want to know him? Jesus is so glorious. Don't you want to know him? That leads us to our second point this morning. Witness or miss this. Because John is saying there's a problem here. All of God's glory, all of the wonder of Jesus coming as a man and becoming like us. You can miss it. The world did not know him. How can a creation not know its creator? John presses into this because he's experienced it. He's seen it. Jesus came to his own people. Jesus came to Israel, one nation that had the testimony of God. These stories, the woven stories of God's glory and his wonder and how he would come and save his people with a Messiah. They were supposed to know the Messiah, who the Messiah would be, what he would do, how he would bring about his kingdom. God had given them living descriptions of the kind of Savior that they would need from the beginning, and yet they missed him. And in missing him, they lost everything. John doesn't want us to miss Jesus. He wants us to witness him, to know him. Jesus not only is known and knows us, but in this knowing, in this relationship that we have, he invites us to enjoy the life that he brings and the light that he brings. This is what John means in verses 12, 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You can be a part of God's family, really and truly, to be born of God. And this is important because John is talking about these three things, not of blood, not of flesh, not of the will of man. These are the things that would have been expected. These are the things that the Jews thought the Messiah would be. And they missed the more fundamental thing. Yes, Jesus was born of the blood, the flesh of this nation of Israel, but that was not what made him the Son of God. He was born the Virgin Mary, of the true Spirit, of the power of God. And we likewise are born not of blood, not of this sacramental system of shedding blood, of bearing our sins, not of paying our own way to God, of trying to reconcile ourselves to God. We couldn't do it. We're not born of flesh. This mindset of all those who were in Abraham were born of Abraham. You had to be of the people of God. No, Jesus saves those brought into his kingdom by the power of the Spirit. As we'll see later when Nicodemus asks, how? How? And Jesus says, by the Spirit. The Spirit brings life. And we are not born of the will of man, as if man could build a kingdom that reaches up to heaven. It's been tried and has failed. God's kingdom is not man's kingdom. His values are not man's values. It's something else entirely. And as we're coming to this gospel, as we're faced with this kingdom that is not by the blood or the flesh or the will of man, but it is by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, that's where we have to wrestle, where we have to humble ourselves. Do we believe in Christ? Have we rested upon him alone for salvation? if you experience this in your daily life, but for me, it's very easy to start to drift into my own way of things, trying to achieve things, trying to earn things, trying to gain my way into God's good grace. It's easy to do. It doesn't even take a thought. But Jesus comes to us not bearing a kingdom of man's good works, but of grace. John says, we have seen His glory. We have seen His grace poured out for us. We have seen the gospel in person. This is our testimony to you, that there is no kingdom that we can bring about that will satisfy. Only Jesus' kingdom is the kingdom of glory. So we are born in Christ and trusting Christ. We are born of God. We are born by His Spirit, by His power. We have, in that, we have immediate access to our Heavenly Father. We receive the life that He created us for. And like I mentioned, John bore witness to this. He said, we have seen His glory. This, I think, a little cheeky preview of what's coming in the gospel, that they saw in person, they saw the glory of God. We have seen His glory. John can't help but be excited to tell this story of Jesus. I don't know about you, and kids, maybe you have experienced this where you are so excited about something. Maybe it's a drawing that you've made, something you've created, or maybe somebody's taught you a magic trick and you just have to show it to somebody. You're so excited. Or maybe, adults, maybe you got a promotion. Maybe you got a new car. For me, I was thinking about it this week. I was thinking, what is it, that thing that I really get excited about? Pretty much anything technology. You know, it's like, oh, this is so cool. It's amazing. And I just have to talk about it and show somebody. And Catherine kind of chuckles at me at all the things that I get so focused on. But that's normal, right? We get so excited about things, whether it's something we've created or something that is new, something that we are glorying in for the first time. It's entered into our lives and we see the glory of it. We want to share that glory with others. I think that's why this prologue of the Gospel of John is so condensed. It's so packed full of imagery and theology and glory. It's because John can't wait to tell you of the gospel. He wants you to know Jesus. And he's witnessing to us about Christ. Because that's really it, isn't it? Once we witness, once we see Christ, then we can witness, we can proclaim Christ. Jesus invites us to be witnesses, not only to be behold Him, to see His glory, but also to speak His glory, to live His glory, to become people who proclaim the kingdom of God. And that leads us to the third point this morning. Glory we can grasp, because all of this really means nothing unless it's real. Unless we know it and live it, breathe it and speak it. John knows that we struggle with this. He knows that it's easy to be unimpressed. I don't know if you felt John's excitement as we read this Gospel of John. If you're like me, the more times you read it, it's easy to be less and less impressed. John wants us to be impressed. He wants us to be in awe and wonder of the glory of Jesus. I think maybe more so in our modern age than ever before, we are dissatisfied with anything that isn't immediately pleasurable or intriguing. Have you noticed how advertisements work these days? In the advertising industry, the beginning of an ad is called a hook. Right? It's that thing that grabs you. And it's not, you know, borrowing from fishing, it's not the, you know, cast the bait out there and wait a while. No, this is like strapping every hook that you have in the tackle box onto the end of the rope and throwing it out there and reeling in it as fast as you can, just in case you snag something along the way. That's what our culture is doing to us today. It wants to grab us. It wants to hook us. It wants to capture us. But the ultimate thing that we're looking for, the satisfaction our world cannot supply. John isn't hooking us here. I want you to see that. He's not hooking us with fancy language and glory that is fading. John is trying to draw us deeper in. He wants you to ask the questions of, what does that mean? What does it mean that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? He was in the beginning with God. What does that all mean? He wants you to ask those questions. He wants you to draw closer. He's not casting his appeal into the shadow waters of passing delights. He's aiming for the heart. The Gospel of John was written for both scholars and simple alike. There's richness, there's glory that you can dive into, but it's also a simple gospel. It is a story that is about our salvation. It's a story about Jesus, and it draws all audiences into it. Those who long to be satisfied, those who long for hope, those who long to dive into the depths of understanding, all will be satisfied in this gospel. The reason why it satisfies it, the reason why we are drawn so deeply into it, is because it shows us Christ. It shows us the one who has from all eternity destined himself by the will of the Father, by the power of the Spirit, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to rescue us. John, through the inspiration of the Spirit, is masterfully crafting a story that bypasses our shallow lusts and goes deep into our hearts, and that's why it is so powerful. The Word enters into us and knows us and changes us from the inside. It satisfies those longings that cannot be satisfied anywhere else. For in Him is life. That's what John means in verses 16 through 18. For from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John wants you to examine and understand the gospel because he knows that you will find grace. He knows you will find the rest for your weary souls. The reason why he mentions Moses there is because Israel had so long tried and tried and tried to earn their way to God. John says, no one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. By God's grace, by His grace upon grace, this magnificent outpouring of grace, we can know God. We can be known by God, and we can come and rest in Him. He wants us to know our Father. He wants us to know our salvation. Jesus has made God known to us. We touched on this, we saw that in our study of the Lord's Prayer. But He bridged that impossible gap so that we could be fully known, fully loved by the Father, so that we could fully know and love the Father in return. It's astonishing. It's glorious. And He says to you this morning, believe. Believe. This testimony, this witness, don't wait any longer. Don't be like the Israelites whom Jesus came to that did not know Him. Trust in Him, rest in Him, and receive His grace upon grace. The Word has come. The Creator has entered His creation. The light has shone in the darkness. The darkness could not overcome it. This isn't just theology. It's an invitation to know Jesus, to witness the glory of God Himself. So the question that we're left with is simple and profound. Will we be those who look but don't see? Or will we be those who behold and believe and bear witness? If you've seen His glory, if you have beheld His wonder, then don't walk away unchanged. Believe in Him, worship Him, follow Him. Know and experience His outpouring of grace upon grace. And then go and be witnesses to the glory that changes everything. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You for this testimony, this witness that John has given to us of the glory of Your gospel. God, we ask that You would continue to teach us by Your word. We thank You for this introduction that is so full of glory and wonder. Help us to continue to meditate upon it, to examine it, to test it in our own hearts so that we may have a sure faith. Teach us, O God, by Your Spirit, of Your glory and Your grace for us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.